Welcome. This is Fireside Readings with Daniel Findlay. Today we will be continuing with our reading of Gargantua and Pantagruel by Francois Rabelais. Chapter 1 of the Genealogy and Antiquity of Gargantua. I must refer you to the great chronicle of Pantagruel for the knowledge of that genealogy and antiquity of race by which Gargantua is come unto us. In it you may understand more at large how the giants were born into this world, and how from them by a direct line issued Gargantua, the father of Pantagruel. And do not take it ill if for this time I pass by it, although the subject be such that the oftener it were remembered, the more it would please your worshipful señoras, according to which you have the authority of Plato in Philebo and Gorgias, and of Flaccus, who says that there are some kinds of purposes, such as these are without doubt, which the frequentlier they be repeated, still prove the more delectable. Would to God every one had as certain knowledge of his genealogy since the time of the Ark of Noah until this age. I think many are at this day emperors, kings, dukes, princes, and popes on the earth, whose extraction is from some porters and pardon peddlers. As on the contrary, many are now poor wandering beggars, wretched and miserable, who are descended of the blood and lineage of great kings and emperors, occasioned, as I conceive it, by the transport and revolution of kingdoms and empires, from the Assyrians to the Medes, from the Medes to the Persians, from the Persians to the Macedonians, from the Macedonians to the Romans, from the Romans to the Greeks, from the Greeks to the French. And to give you some hint concerning myself, who speak unto you, I cannot think, but I am come of the race of some rich king or prince in former times. For never yet saw you any man that had a greater desire to be a king and to be rich than have I. And that only that I may make good cheer, do nothing, nor care for anything, and plentifully enrich my friends and all honest and learned men. But herein do I comfort myself, that in the other world I shall be so, yea, and greater too than at this present I dare wish. As for you, with the same or a better conceit, consolate yourself in your distresses, and drink fresh if you can come by it. To return to our weathers, I say that by the sovereign gift of heaven, the antiquity and genealogy of Gargantua hath been reserved for our use, more full and perfect than any other, except that of the Messiah's, whereof I mean not to speak, for it belongs not unto my purpose. And the devils, that is to say, the false accusers and disassembled gospelers, will therein oppose me. This genealogy was found by John Andrew in a meadow, which he had near the pole arch under the olive tree, as you go up to Narse. Whereas he was making a cast-up of some ditches, the diggers with their mattocks struck against a great brazen tomb, and unmeasurably long, for they could never find the end thereof, by reason that it entered too far within the sluices of Vienna. Opening this tomb in a certain place thereof, sealed on the top with a mark of the goblet, about which was written in Het Rurian letters, Hic Bibitur, they found 9 flagons, set in such order as they used to rank their skittles in Gascony, of which that which was placed in the middle had under it a big, fat, great, gray, pretty, small, moldy, little pamphlet, smelling stronger, but no better than roses. In that book, the said genealogy was found, written all at length, in a chancery hand, not in paper, not in parchment, nor in wax, but in the bark of an elm tree, yet so worn with the long tract of time, that hardly could three letters together be there perfectly discerned. I, though unworthy, was sent for thither, and with much help of those spectacles, whereby the art of reading dim writings, and letters that do not closely appear to the sight, is practiced, as Aristotle teacheth it, did translate the book, as you may see in your pantagruelizing, that is to say, in drinking stiffly to your own heart's desire, and reading the dreadful and horrific acts of Pantagruel. At the end of the book, there was a little treatise, entitled The Antidoted Fen Fretulus, or Galamatia of Extravagant Conceits, The Rats and Moths, or, and I may not lie, Other Wicked Beasts, had nibbled off the beginning. The rest I have hereto subjoined, for the reverence I bear to antiquity. Chapter 2. The Antidoted Fen Fretulus, or A Glomatia of Extravagant Conceits, found in an ancient monument. No sooner did the Cimbrian's overcomer pass through the air to shun the dew of summer, but at his coming straight great tubs were filled with pure fresh butter, down in showers distilled, wherewith, when watered, was his grand high. Aloud he cried, "Fish it, sir, I pray, because his beard is almost all bewrayed." Or that he would hold to him a scale, he prayed, to lick his slipper, some told was much better, than to gain pardons and the merit greater. In the interim, a crafty chuff approaches, from the depth issued, where they fish for roaches, who said, "Good sire, some of them let us save. The eel is here, and in this hollow cave. You'll find, if that our looks on it demur, a great waste in the bottom of his fur." To read this chapter when he did begin, nothing but a calf's horns were found therein. "I feel," quoth he, "the mirth which doth hold my head so chill, it makes my brain take cold, being with the perfume of a turnip warmed, to stay by chimney hearths himself he armed, provided that a new thill horse they made, of every person of a hare-brained head." They talked of the bunghole of St. Nolas, of Gibraltar and a thousand other holes, if they might be reduced a scary stuff, such as might not be subject to the cough, since every man unseemly did it find, to see them gaping thus at every wind, for if perhaps they handsomely were closed, for pledges they to men might be exposed. In this arrest by Hercules the raven, was flayed at her return from Libya haven. "Why am not I," said Minos, "there invited? Unless it be myself, no one's omitted. And then it is their mind, I do no more, of frogs and oysters send them any store, in case they spare my life and prove but civil. I give their sale of distaffs to the devil." To quell him comes QB, who limping frets at the safe pass of tricksy crackerettes, the bolter, the grand cyclops cousins. Those did massacre, whilst each one wiped his nose. Few ingles in this fallow ground are bred, but on a tanner's mill are winnowed. Run thither, all of you. The alarms sound clear. You shall have more than you had the last year. Short, while thereafter was the bird of Jove, resolved to speak, though dismal it should prove. Yet was afraid, when he saw them in ire, they should overthrow, quite flat, down dead, the empire. He rather chused the fire from heaven to steal, to boats where were red herrings put to sail. than to be calm against those who strive to brave us, and to the Massorets found words enslave us. All this at last concluded gallantly, in spite of eight and her hern-like thigh, who sitting saw Penthesilea ta'en in her old age for a crest-selling quain. Each one cried out, "Thou filthy collier toad, doth it become thee to be found abroad? Thou hast the Roman standard flitched away, which they in rags of parchment did display. Juno was born, who under the rainbow was a bird catching with a duck below, when her with such a grievous trick they plied, that she had almost been bethwacked by it. The bargain was, that, of that throat full, she should of Proserpina have two eggs free, and if that she thereafter should be found, she to a hawthorn hill should be fast bound. 7 months thereafter, lacking 22, he that of old did Carthage town undo, did bravely midst them all of himself advance, requiring of them his inheritance. Although they justly made up the division, according to the shoe welt law's decision, by distributing store of bruise and beef to these poor fellows that did pin the brief. But the year will come, sign of a Turkish bow, 5 spindles yarned, and 3 pot-bottoms too, wherein of a discourteous king the dock shall peppered be under a hermit's frock. Ah, that for one she hypocrite you must permit so many acres to be lost. Cease, cease, this vizard may become another. Withdraw yourself unto the serpent's brother. 'Tis in times past that he is shall reign with his good friends in peace now and again. No rash nor heady prince shall then rule crave. Each good will its arbitrement shall have, and the joy promised of old as doom to the heaven's guest shall in its beacon come. Then shall the breeding mares that benumbed were, like royal palfreys, ride triumphant there. And this continue shall from time to time, till Mars be fettered for an unknown crime. Then shall one come who others will surpass, delightful, pleasing, matchless, full of grace. Cheer up your hearts, approach to this repast, all trusty friends of mine, for he's deceased. Who would not for a world return again? So highly shall time past be cried up then. He who is made of wax shall lodge each member close by the hinges of a block of timber. We then no more shall master, hoot, the swagger who the alarm bell holds out. Could one seize on the dagger which be bears, heads would be free from tingling in the ears, to baffle the whole storehouse of abuses, and thus farewell, Apollo and the Muses.